If you've been experiencing changes to your physical or mental health and you haven't been able to figure out why, I want to invite you to check your job. A lot of times, our careers, especially if you're doing work that is unfulfilling and not aligned with who you are, our careers can lead to a lot of stress that then negatively impacts your body and your mind. But people often don't connect the two. They don't connect that the job might be the problem that they're experiencing physically. So in today's episode, I want to share with you some hidden dangers that your unfulfilling job might be having on your physical and mental health. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who's ready to work in an aligned career that allows her to thrive in her zone of genius, live on purpose, and get paid a value-aligned salary. I'm your host, Dr. Tega Edwin, and I share insights and strategies to help you reach your career goals, whether you're trying to find your fulfilling career, grow your current career, or successfully job search. Let's dive in. Hello, wonderful listener. Welcome back to another episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. Today, we're talking about your health, your physical and mental health, and how your job might be wreaking havoc on your mental health and your physical health. A lot of times, I've seen this consistently, people often don't make the connection between their jobs and what they're experiencing in their body and their mind. Like, you'll be experiencing physical things that you've never experienced before, or your mind is doing things it hasn't done before, and you've gone to the doctor, you couldn't figure it out. You have changed your diet, you have changed your lifestyle, but you're still experiencing the symptoms and you don't know what the problem is. And I'm usually like, girl, have you checked your job? Because work is where you spend most of your waking hours. Like most of them, for most people. And you have to recognize that the place where you spend most of your waking hours has a massive impact on your health. And sometimes people put it together. I've had some women who have come to me and have been able to clearly articulate some of the things that have been different once they started a job or when their job changed. But some women will be like, I'm experiencing this and I don't even know why. And when we trace it back, we realized that it was the job. Like, I remember a few years ago, I worked with a woman who had a really severe stutter. And that stutter was impacting her confidence, how she showed up, how she felt about herself. It was doing a number on her. And one day when we were kind of just working, I don't even remember what we were working on, but I just remember it came up. And I remember asking her if she had always had the stutter. And come to find out, let me cut that long story short, we realized that no, she started stuttering when her manager changed. When she got under a really toxic, really bad manager who had it out for her, that's when the stutter set in. And ever since then, like, she had been working with that person for over 7 years. And for those 7 years, she stuttered in her speech everywhere. And before that moment, she hadn't pieced it together. It kind of just, and maybe she had in the past, right? As I'm talking to you now, I didn't ask her this, like if she first noticed when it first started, but she had lived with it for so long that it had now become a part of her identity, a part of her identity that she wasn't proud of, that she didn't enjoy. And it was because of her job. I remember another client, and this one, she actually put it together, but the point when she knew that she needed to change her career situation was when she passed out at work. Like, fainted, passed out cold. And she realized that, like, before then, she had been experiencing, like, a lot of anxiety because of work. She would, like, wake up on the way to work. Her stomach hurt. She felt anxious. And when she passed out, when she realized that she would be in the bathroom sort of, like, sweating and trying to give herself a pep talk, she realized that something had to give. I've had clients who have talked about gaining weight. One client talked about gaining 60 pounds since she was in her role. Clients who just don't feel engaged, don't feel motivated. Some have talked about just how they are feeling issues, like just their skin, feeling issues in their body, like their skin is itchy. Like, your job has a massive impact on your physical and mental health. But a lot of times we don't make those connections. And so my goal today is to help you make the connection. Right. My goal today is to help you hear some very clear ways that your unfulfilling job might be ruining your physical and mental health, some clear signs that you can watch out for. And I even want you to understand how it goes beyond your physical and mental health. Like, those are pretty major, but even in your career, staying in that unfulfilling job is doing a number on your career future. And so that's what I want us to get into today. So first, I think it's important that I share with you the mechanism through which being in an unfulfilling job can impact your physical and mental health. Because it's not like, you know, oh, bad job, bad health. There's a specific bridge, I should say, that connects those two things. And the bridge is called work stress. Okay, that's the name of the bridge, work stress. When you experience high levels of work stress, you experience high levels of negative physical and mental health symptoms. So let's talk about stress a bit. Stress is, there are different levels of stress. That's the word I was looking for, right? We have something that we call positive stress sometimes. And positive stress is the kind of stress that motivates your behavior in a positive direction. So for example, you know, if you're going in for an interview, a job interview, you might feel a little bit of stress, but that stress might lead you to prepare, do a lot of research, and then you perform better. If you're about to do a presentation, you might feel stressed, but then it might lead you to be more sharp and clear in how you speak. So positive stress happens regularly throughout life in different situations. And the third category of stress we have is called tolerable stress. Not my favorite word, but this is based on the research. But the reason why it's called tolerable stress is because with the right supports in place, sometimes with time, with the right coping mechanisms, we are able to recover, bounce back, not bounce back, let me say recover, right? Because I think of growth, it changes you fundamentally, but you can recover from it. So if I think of tolerable stress, this is why I said I don't like the word, loss of a loved one, right? Like, that is an example of tolerable stress. And the reason why I don't like that word is, I mean, like, I lost my mom 4 years ago. I wouldn't classify it as tolerable. Am I surviving it? Yes, but I'm still fundamentally changed. 2 days ago, I cried because I remembered her and how she used to dance to music, right? Like, so the research calls it tolerable because your body can tolerate it, but it doesn't usually feel tolerable when you're handling it. That's the second category. The third category of stress, and this is where we're camping out today, is called toxic stress. This is stress that is persistent, that is ongoing, and doesn't really give you room to recover. And when your body consistently experiences toxic stress, this is what then leads to trauma. Right, so trauma is when your physiological systems have been overwhelmed beyond your stress tolerance level and your body is trying to cope. And I really, really just simplified it like big time. But that is essentially what trauma is. And that's why it's very subjective, because one thing can be toxic for me, but not toxic for you. And so everybody responds differently to it. But essentially, when your body's stress response system has been overwhelmed by any situation, it's like an event has happened that has changed how your body responds, then, and it changes you, right? So because it was toxic, now it's changed how you see the world, how you feel physically, how you think, how you operate. That's when trauma sets in. And what people often don't recognize is that trauma is not always, you know, one big event. People think a hurricane, a natural disaster, death, abuse, neglect, like all those things count, but it doesn't have to be one big thing. Multiple small things can build up and lead to trauma. And here, and the way it works, and mind you, let me pause, okay? Let me pause. And before I break this down for you, let me give you my qualifications real quick, because, and I'm saying this because that word trauma has been bastardized on social media. Like, every coach, Tom, Dick, Harry, Nancy, Julie is talking about trauma right now. I might say people have absolutely experienced trauma, but I want to make sure that we are talking about the actual thing and the same thing. And I also want you to know that when I'm saying it, I'm not saying it the Instagram way, okay? Like, I just, this is one of like my pet peeves, and it might be a bad habit of mine, but just when, I don't like when things that have research, biological, physiological founding, standing, grounding are just thrown around, because I think it minimizes the experience for people who are experiencing that thing. Like, it minimizes the severity. That's the word, the severity of people who are actually experiencing it. So just want you to know, if this is your first time, if you don't know this about me, I'm a licensed professional counselor. I've been a licensed professional counselor for over 11 years now. Not only do I have a master's in counseling, I have a PhD in counselor education. I research trauma, like I've written research papers on trauma and career development. I do trainings for other professionals on trauma. I teach people at the master's and PhD level about mental health, about trauma, about career development. I am a certified clinical trauma professional. So I'm sharing all that just so you know that there is expertise behind what I'm about to share with you. I'm not just speaking because I read an article somewhere, okay? Now, that being said, I'm going to say this very simply because we're not in a biology class. You don't need a biology lesson. So essentially, now back to what I was saying, small things leading to trauma. When you experience toxic stress, when you experience, when you experience stress without a chance to recover, it can become toxic. So when thing after thing after thing is happening to your system and you never get to come back to baseline, it can eventually reshape your system, like your brain. Research has shown your brain changes, your physiological responses change based on those events. And why am I emphasizing the small things? Because that's usually what it looks like in the workplace. Usually in the workplace, it's the small thing after small thing after small thing after small thing that overwhelms your physiological capability to handle stress. The microaggression, the late deadlines, the lack of flexibility, the bad communication practices, the discrimination, the microaggression again. Like when you are in a workplace where you are constantly experiencing these things without season, then what we see happen is that when you essentially, I'm trying to like talk to you about this without speaking in like research terms, but essentially when you are under stress, your brain pumps hormones, chemicals into your body. This is what triggers your hot system, like the fight, flight, freeze, fawn response, right? It's when, like when your armpits start sweating, your heart starts racing really fast, your body gets hot, you have racing thoughts. That is your body trying to stay alive and respond to the stress. And so usually when you have regulated, like something has happened, you've come back to baseline, then your cool system comes back on. You're in a calm state. So imagine being in a workplace. Remember what I said, you experience stress, your body tries to keep you safe, response, right? Like hormones being pumped into your body. So imagine when you're in a workplace where you get discriminated against one day, and the next day there's a microaggression, and then they give you a late task, and then there's a late deadline, and then they're calling you all the time. It's like your body just keeps pumping hormones into your system to try to stay safe in a situation that it is judging as unsafe because it's stressing you out. And when your physiological systems stay at that level of constantly being activated, that's what we mean when we say you're activated. Your hot systems are on. You're scanning to be safe. You're on guard. You're watching your environment. When your hot system perpetually stays on, that can lead to you starting to experience trauma responses because it can physiologically, on a fundamental level, change you. It changes your brain, like your brain chemistry. It changes how you interact with the world. It changes how you see the world. Now, there's good news. We can recover from trauma. Post-traumatic growth is a thing. We can recalibrate those neurons and those pathways. But I just wanted you to understand how, like, again, that bridge between your career and your health, and that it's work stress and it's not something to take lightly. Okay? And when I say work stress, how do you know if you're experiencing toxic stress? Because I've told you that there's positive and tolerable stress. Well, there's 7 different causes of stress, I would say. I'm going to read my list to you. These are the 7 that I tend to focus on and talk about the most. These are the 7 most common causes of stress. I'm going to read this to you. The first one is role ambiguity. So this is when you're doing work and you're not clear about your job. Like you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. That's role ambiguity. Role conflict. When you're being given conflicting tasks, whether it's from the same person or different people, like they told you to do A today, tomorrow do B, and you're like, what am I supposed to do? Stressful. When you're experiencing role overload, so they've given you more tasks than you can handle without the support to handle the tasks, stress. When there is lack of support, so you're working in an environment where you're not receiving the support you need, whether that is tools, materials that you need, or emotional support, whatever it may be. When the organizational culture and change are happening. So essentially, when you're working in a culture that's not a fit or change is happening and the change isn't being managed or communicated in a way that's healthy, your system can read that as stressful. Relationships. So the relationships you have at work, if they're unhealthy relationships with your coworkers and your colleagues, that can be stressful. And then finally, bad management. So when you have a manager or a supervisor who's toxic, who's terrible, who's not good at their job, that can be stressful. So these are the 7 most common categories of work stress. And again, so when you are experiencing work stress, your body is trying to respond to keep you safe. And so your systems are activated, but there are consequences to that activation. There are consequences to perpetually existing in a space where you are always stressed, whether it's a physical space because you're going into work or a mental space because of the work that you're doing and the people you're dealing with. There are consequences to always being stressed. And when you are doing work that is not aligned with your values, your interests, or your skills, you're going to be stressed, right? Like, I'm going to go back to my list and tell you the connections. So role ambiguity, that's usually going to be a value conflict. Role conflict is a value conflict. Role overload is going to either be a skill or a value issue, value conflict. Lack of support, value conflict. Organizational culture and change, that is also going to be a value issue, value conflict. Relationships, value conflict. Bad management, value conflict. Like, I literally just did that on the spot. And here's what's happening in my brain right now. OMG, your values are so important. And I know that because it's the foundation of my program. I've always said that. But this is the first time I've actually gone back to the causes of work stress to see, okay, when we look at your values, your interests, and skills, what is misaligned that leads to that level of stress? And skills only really showed up once. Yeah, interest did not show up at all. These are all value conflicts. When you are doing work that is out of alignment with your values, you're going to be stressed. Dang. Like, I'm having a moment. Give me a minute here. But anyway, what I'm getting at is that when you're doing work that is not aligned with who you are, it stresses you out. And when you are constantly stressed, right? Like, when your body is constantly stressed, like I said, you're experiencing cortisol being pumped into your system, inflammation in your system. It's just not good. And that's me putting it lightly. So what then happens when you are experiencing work stress, or what can happen, right? It looks different from person to person. Well, I put together 2 lists that I want to share with you. And this list is based on this is from research. So some of what research shows us is the impact of work stress and just working with my clients, what I've seen live and direct my clients experience in their career. So let me start with some of the physical health effects. So when you are doing misaligned work that is causing you to experience consistent, persistent, constant stress that your body's not recovering from, what can happen in your body? Let me read this list to you. And as I read and you listen, just take note of if you are experiencing or have experienced any of these. Okay, so here's the list of physical effects of being in an unfulfilling career. Ulcers, experiencing ulcers, fatigue, just more tired than normal, hair loss, insomnia, headaches, skin issues, low energy, clenched jaw, so it can lead to TMJ, grinding teeth, low sex drive, which, mind you, this is not on my list, but research shows that people who experience higher levels of work stress experience higher rates of divorce. Weight gain, weight loss, chest pain, frequent colds, and heart palpitations. And this is just a small list based off of, again, like I said, my own research and my clients. There's more things that I've heard people experience that I didn't put on this list. I remember one time I shared this list on Instagram and someone was like, frequent colds? What? Like, they questioned me. I'm like, yes, because when you're doing unfulfilling work that is constantly stressing you out, your immune system weakens. Like, there's a reason why when you travel back to back, or maybe you go out without sleeping, you get a cold. Your body was stressed out. Your immune system was stressed out. And so you were more susceptible to viruses. And so when you're doing work that is always stressing you out, it is weakening your immune system, which is why you're getting more colds or just sick in general. I'm curious, did any of those stand out? Like, are you experiencing any of those? How many of those are you experiencing? And if you have never connected it to your job, I want you to do that. Like, not if it's not your job, then it's not your job. But I want you to just evaluate your job and ask yourself, could my job be the problem? Is my job why I'm gaining weight? Why I'm losing weight? Why I have ulcers? Why I get sick all the time? Why I'm clenching my jaws all the time? Why I'm always on alert, right? Like, don't just say, oh, you know what? No, I'm leaving an unhealthy lifestyle. Okay? Now, the second list I want to read to you is the mental health effects, because it's not, and that's why at the beginning I said your body and your mind. It's not just physical. When you experience work stress, things are happening in your mind, in your emotions also. So let me read to you this list of mental health effects that you can experience when you're doing unfulfilling work that is consistently stressing you out. More anxiety, more depression, irritability, frustration, overwhelm, pessimism, less creativity, racing thoughts, low motivation, loss of interest, burnout, hopelessness, low concentration, and emotional fatigue. So again, similar question. Did any of those resonate for you? Have you found yourself experiencing any of these symptoms and you just thought something was wrong with you? You were the problem. Life was just hard. We're just in a phase of life. I haven't been eating well. I haven't been working out. But really, the problem might be your job. Right? And I think that really is what I want you to take out of today's episode, is that your job is not just a job. It's more than a job. It is impacting your health. And if you are doing unaligned work, you are paying a price. There's no way you're not paying some kind of price. And oftentimes I think of these as the hidden dangers of doing unfulfilling work, because we often don't make that connection. Like, we'll experience things in our body and we'll just say, oh, I'm just not being healthy. I haven't been taking care of myself. I've been eating junk food. Stress is normal. Work is meant to be stressful. I'm just, you know, it's just me. Like, we'll brush it off. But meanwhile, it's your environment and the situation that you have put yourself in day in and day out. And so I don't want you to, don't just brush it away, right? Like, don't just minimize the fact that your job is ruining your physical and mental health. Pause, take stock. And if you recognize, if you're thinking, you know what? Yes. Wow. This is me. It's my job. Then my next question is, what are you going to do about it? If it's your job, what's going to change? What are you doing differently? Are you going to stay in that job that you now know is actually factually killing you slowly? Or are you going to try to do something else and find work that is meaningful, work where you can thrive, where you're not consistently stressed, where you're getting paid well? I hope you said the second one, right? Like, I hope that your decision is to change your career situation. And the last thing I want to leave you with, you know, I said something at the beginning where not just your physical and mental health, although those are really important, but also your career moving forward. When I was talking about trauma, I intentionally mentioned the fact that trauma changes the brain. Again, something else that we often don't talk about. Well, I think people don't talk about it because they don't know about it. So I'm telling you about it. But what you have to recognize is trauma reshapes your, like, which parts of your brain are dominant. There are three major parts: the frontal cortex, the neocortex, the reptilian brain. I'm not going to go into detail, but just think, here's what I want you to pay attention to. Your neocortex, the frontal cortex, that's the, by the way, I just said that wrong. Frontal cortex, limbic system, and reptilian brain. The frontal cortex, neocortex are the same. Anyway, what I want you to get out of this is your frontal cortex, your neocortex, that's the part of the brain that is responsible for logical reasoning, for thinking about the future, for creativity, for thinking about actions and consequences, for communication, for language even. Like, one analogy that I always give people when I do trainings on trauma is, have you ever had an argument with someone? And, you know, you had the argument, whatever was said. And then when you were done, when you were in the shower, you start practicing and rehashing that argument. And when you're in the shower, you start thinking of all the best comebacks. Like, legit, it's like, boom, boom, boom. It's coming back to you, these beautiful, eloquent sentences that you could have said to win that argument. And you're like, dang it, why didn't I say that in the moment? In the moment, while you were arguing, you were activated. Your system was stressed. And when you're activated, your frontal cortex goes offline. your reptilian complex, which is the part that's responsible for survival, becomes more dominant. Your frontal cortex is the part that's responsible for language. While you were in that argument, you literally, physiologically, could not think of those sentences. Like in that moment, while you were activated, your brain could not function in that way. But when you're in the shower, you're chill, you're relaxed, you're not stressed, your frontal cortex is firing at full capacity. That's why you're thinking of these beautiful sentences. I just wanted to give you that context. And so what we don't recognize, what people often recognize, and I've seen this consistently with my clients, and that's why I'm recording this episode, is that over time, because your frontal cortex is being changed because of the stress that you are experiencing, your ability to make decisions changes. Like memory, concentration, focus, problem solving, those all go downhill when your system is in a state of dysregulation. And think about your career. One of the most important skills you need for career success is how to make decisions. Like career decision making is a skill, it's a variable that is often researched. It is such a crucial part of your career growth and success. But when you are in a state of dysregulation, nervous dysregulation, you can't sit down and really analyze actions and consequences and think about the pros and the cons and future. Like all your body cares about is, am I safe? How do I stay alive? How do I survive? And so when you stay in a career situation that is perpetually stressing your system, you're also slowly losing the capacity to actually make informed decisions that benefit you and your career over time. And this inability to make smart, informed decisions, this is what can then lead to things like staying stuck in a situation that isn't good for you, not really analyzing the consequences well, not really analyzing the situation objectively. And you might just think, I just can't make a decision. But it's like, it's not just an emotional thing that you can't make a decision. It's physiologically, your body is finding it incapable to make a decision because you have reached capacity. Your physiological systems have reached capacity. And I'm getting like, my voice is getting spicy right now because I'm like, this is important. It's not just a job. This is your health. This is your life. There's a reason why I am so committed to this work and to helping women find fulfilling work. Because literally, your life is at stake when you're doing work that is not aligned with who you are. Your actual life. And I don't think people often realize how important or how severe, like the scope of this conversation. I think we often think it's just work, it's just a job, but it's not just anything. It's your life. I don't know how else to press that home. Like I don't know how else to communicate that except for the way I just done it. And I think I just want you to reflect. Okay. Like that's all I'm going to leave you with today. Reflect. Has your career been impacting your physical and mental health? If it has, are you going to choose to stay? As long as you make an informed decision, I think that's the other key thing. You know what you're staying in. I've given you some symptoms. I've told you what could happen to your body, to your mind, to your health. If you're choosing to stay, that is what you're choosing. And at least you'll know that you're making an informed decision. If you're choosing to leave and change your career situation, I'll tell you right now, fear is likely going to set in because you don't know what else you're going to do or how to make a career change. I'm letting you know right now that fear is normal. If you have clarity and a plan, which I'll put a small plug here, this is what I help women do in my program, Find Your Fulfilling Career. If you have clarity and a plan, you can navigate through that fear and take action to change your situation. Okay? I feel like it just got really intense in here. Like I'm by myself recording, but you're watching and it got heavy. So I'm just going to wrap up there and just as usual say that if you found this helpful and you're watching on YouTube, hit the like and subscribe button so that YouTube can share this video with more people. If you're listening on the podcast, Spotify, Apple, iHeart, wherever, leave us a review or a rating on that platform. So that again, those platforms, like that's a signal to them that this is good information and they will share with more people. Spread the word. Like if you think this is important, if you know somebody specifically who needs to hear this, share this with them directly. But I'm just going to leave you with that is just reflect on the impact your career has on your life. Thank you for listening to today's episode, and I will catch you in the next episode.